Thank you for joining us. We pray that as you listen today, that you are encouraged and inspired. And we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Now here's today's message.
Romans chapter 8, verse 28. This should be a familiar verse of Scripture. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. I want to talk about all things for our good. You may be seated. This is one of the most faith-testing verses for the Christian believer in the entire Bible. To believe that and then to lay it as an overlay on your life and just look at all the negative things that have happened, all the bad things that happened, things that you didn't like, and say, I just don't see how that was for my good. So it takes tremendous faith to believe the Word of God as opposed to what you see, what you're feeling, and what you observe. It takes great faith to believe that anything and everything that happens to you will ultimately work for your good, regardless of how it initially appears on the surface. The scriptural promises are not for the casual observer, but for those that embrace the Word of God and unflinchingly follow Him. Nothing that God ever asks of us, nothing that God ever requires of us or commands from us is for our deprivation. Everything that God asks, requires, or commands is for our good. It's difficult for us to be able to ascertain that sometimes. It's just that what the Bible calls our see-through-a-glass-darkly vision, we cannot always grasp the end of the journey or the final picture. It's not natural or normal to even believe this scripture that I've just read to you. It goes back to what I called a few sessions ago, that unreasonable, unseasonable faith. So let's look at these elements and dissect them for a moment contained in this one short verse. Before you can own this verse, and this is a tremendous verse to own. That's the way I look at the scriptures. Either those scriptures are foreign to me, they're unfamiliar to me after all of the years of reading God's Word, teaching and preaching God's Word, verses still unfamiliar, still distant from me. I've never experienced that verse. And so it becomes incumbent on us as believers when we find the promises of God, no matter how outlandish they might seem, to say, I'm going to own that verse. That verse is going to become a part of my life. And this verse is a difficult verse to own because it goes against everything that is natural and subscribes to the supernatural. There are two elements that allow us to own this verse, and if we do not identify those, we'll never own this verse. There will be things that happen to us that are just disastrous, that are destroying, that are negative, that are depressing, that affect us in a negative way all of our life if we don't own this verse. Two things, two elements. Number one, identity, and number two is behavior. I heard a man say, and I never had thought of it in that context a couple of years ago on Christian television. He said, behavior has nothing to do with Christianity. That's simply not a true statement. If behavior has nothing to do with Christianity, the Bible would have completed itself at the book of Acts, because the rest of it are the epistles, and it's all about the behavior of a Christian. How a Christian should behave themselves that they might achieve not only the eternal reward, but they might achieve the benefits of being a Christian on a daily basis. And so it is about identity and behavior. Who is this written to? That's the identity. There are two qualifiers. Those that love God and those that are called according to His purpose. What do you mean, those that love God? There are so many people say, I love God. It's very easy to say, I love God. The Bible said that God so loved the world. That's a great statement, but it's just a statement until you see Jesus Christ living 33 and a half years on this earth and ultimately giving His life for one reason, because He loved every human being. He proved His love. It's been said many times in many ways. It was not the cords and it was not the nails that held Him to that tree. The devil tried to get Him off of the cross. angels tempted him to let them come and interfere in this redemptive process. But what held him on the cross was his love for you and his love for me. Without his death and his burial and resurrection, we had no hope. But his love he commended to us while we were yet sinners. And so the question is not whether God loves the world. The question is who in this world loves God. And so we like to say, oh, I love God. And the vast majority of people in this world would say, I love God. It's a very easy thing to say. It rolls off the tongue very easily. But proving that you love God is something quite contrary. Christ would say, pick up your cross and follow me. Christ would say, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And that separates us, the sheep and the goats, very quickly. And so we say, well, I love God. But you don't have to prove it to a preacher. You don't have to prove it to a congregation. You don't have to prove it to your family, your friends, or your enemies. You have to prove to God that you love God to yourself and to your God. That's the only two people that you have to prove. And God put some real disclaimers in the scripture about who does and who does not love him. The Bible said that you cannot love God whom you have not seen if you do not love your brother who you do see. And so people can say, I love God, but the way they treat their brothers and sisters is a real telltale sign that what they're saying might not be what's in their heart. And so if you're going to have all of these things working together for your good, you're going to have to love God. And to prove that, you're going to have to love not only God's people, but God's church. You know, I was thinking, I didn't get time to address it, but during the Christmas messages about how we keep saying there was no room in the inn for Jesus. It wasn't about Jesus at all. It was about Mary. Jesus wasn't even here yet. Mary is a type of the church. And there's all kinds of people that tell you, well, I don't go to church, but I love the Lord. Oh, I'm a Christian, but I don't ever go to church. I just don't do well with Christian people. And so what they're saying is, I'm going to bypass the church. There is no exclusion in the Bible about excluding yourself from the church and being a lover of God and a follower of God. The Bible teaches us that Christ loved the church so much that he gave his life for it. And if we are to be followers of God and lovers of God, then we have to love his church. And God has given me a great love for his church. As a young man, when I traveled so much across this country, one of the first things I would do, no matter why I was in that town, is I would locate a full gospel, Bible-believing, Holy Ghost-filled church, even if I was just going to be in town just for a day or two, because I have a love for God's church. Everything good has happened to me in God's church. When I was born, my mother took me to the church, and I had some severe physical problems. I was so asthmatic that I could not hardly breathe as a baby. But my mother told me that when they dedicated me in that church, that at that very moment, as a small baby, I was healed, and I've never had an asthmatic problem to this day. Every good thing has happened to me. I gave my life to Christ in the church. I was baptized in the church. I was filled with the Holy Spirit in the church. I was baptized in the Holy Ghost. I was called to preach the gospel in the church. And through every storm of life, I'm like David. I made it my appetite to say I crave the church, and I would go to God's church. And no matter what I've been going through, the Lord has sustained me through his church. And so I can lay claim on this amazing verse is because I'm a lover of God, and I prove that by loving God's people and loving God's church. Number two, those that are called according to his purpose. What does that mean? It means those that place themselves in God's hands to fulfill his perfect will. God has a perfect purpose for your life, a perfect purpose for your life. And it might include a lot of things. It might include your vocation. It might include your relationships. But one thing it will include is God's purpose on this earth. And we have to know what that purpose is. God's purpose is more eternal than temporal. We place so much emphasis on the 75 years or 80 years or whatever we're going to be on this earth if we're blessed. But the truth is, that's just a small, small part of our existence. The major part of our existence is on the other side of the grave. It's called eternity. And so we look at something that we think is so big, about a job we got or didn't get, about a raise we got or didn't get, and that becomes all-consuming in our mind. It's a mere speck of what God's doing in our life because He places so much emphasis on our eternal part, our eternal focus, which is the purpose of Almighty God. God gave His only Son for that purpose. God built His church and said, "The gates of hell shall not prevail against it." I'm amazed. I'm appalled at people that call themselves Christian. Now, I can give those people a pass that have never been born again, that call themselves Christians, but it's just a theological position. I can give them a pass. But people that have been buried with Christ in baptism, people that have been filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, people that know, the Bible said it this way, people that have tasted of the good world, the world to come, I can't give those people a pass when they are so blasé against God's church. The truth is that God places a tremendous emphasis on His church. He built His church, and then He put a written guarantee on it with His own blood and said, "The gates of hell shall not prevail against it." If it meant that much to God, it ought to mean as much to us. That we're faithful to God's house, that we minister in God's house, that we serve God's people through God's house, that we have a place that is a lighthouse to the lost and dying, and we keep that door open and those lights burning by giving, by serving, by attending. This church is only as strong as those people that come here make it, and they do that by their prayers, by their attendance, by their giving, by their serving. And friend, if we are not as concerned about God's church as He is, then I don't think that we can claim this verse at all. And all things don't necessarily work for our good. All things might just be in all kinds of disarray. They might work against us. They might be difficult in our life. If you're going to lay hands on this verse, you've got to qualify yourself and say, "I qualify that no matter what the devil comes against me with, God will turn it for good. No matter what man does, God said He will make it work for my good." But you've got to turn that around. And you have to turn it around by saying, "I am the people that love God, and I am the people that are called to His purpose, and I'm sold out." Jesus Christ tells us that we are not a participant in God's kingdom simply by observation. We've got to roll up our sleeves and get our hands dirty. We can't just go on the other side. We've got to take up the man that has fallen and bring him where? To the inn. And the inn is the church of the living God. God said, "I've got tremendous promises, but they're not for the general public. They're for those people that love me and are called according to my purpose." Three factors to initiate this verse. Number one, this is very difficult to do. Trust God to avenge all enemies. Trust God to avenge all enemies. Romans 12:19. "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." When somebody does something against you, you have one of two choices. Either you seek vengeance or you seek the Lord. And if you will seek the Lord will take care of that. But it takes tremendous faith to say, "God's going to straighten this mess out. God's going to bring me through this victorious. God's going to reveal it for what it is." Friend, if you are going to reach out and try to solve every one of your problems and give everybody what you think they deserve, this verse is not for you. All things are not going to work together because you're going to be trying to work it out yourself. You know, there's a little two-word statement in the workforce. It's called work stoppage. That can either be done by management or it can be done by the employee, either one. It means we're not going to work anymore because something is so messed up here that we think it's unfair. I've got some bad news for you. When you take things in your own hand, there's a work stoppage in heaven. That means the angels no longer come and take care of your needs. That means God Himself says, "Wait a minute, I got to back off. They've decided to handle this themselves." If you're going to handle it, God won't handle it. And so we have some real play things to do in this world, but all of them are spiritual. It's not to punch people in the nose. It's not to give out all the information that you know bad about somebody. It's to say, I belong to the Lord. All things work together for my good. And so God's going to take care of this. I don't have to take revenge. I don't have to get vengeance upon these people. God is going to do it for me. Secondly, if you want this to work for you, you must maintain an attitude of gratitude and a heart of thanksgiving regardless of what's going on. That is extremely hard to do. The Bible said in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. This is just another reason why we come to church. When you show up on Wednesday or you show up on Sunday, when you walk through that door, you're not saying, everything has been exactly as I wanted to be. Everybody has said exactly what I wanted to hear. Everybody has promoted me in a way I wanted to be promoted. As Jesse would say, everybody has celebrated me like I wanted to be celebrated. That's not what you're saying. You're saying, it's been tough out here. The world has been against me. Some people have been ugly. I didn't get some things I deserved. I was blamed for some things I didn't do, but that does not affect my integrity with Almighty God, because I've shown up at the house of God to give God thanks. That's the reason why God puts such an emphasis on praise and singing and worship. When you do that, you're saying, I don't care what happened. I know that all things are going to work together for my good. So I'm here to give the Lord the attitude that I have, which is an attitude of gratefulness and gratitude. It is an attitude of thankfulness. I'm here to praise the Lord. I'm here to glorify the Lord. I'm here to say God is good, not partially, but God is good all the time. There are so many people that say God is good only when they get a new car, when they get a job, when they get a promotion, and when their relationship is satisfactory, then God is good. But I've known some people that walked to the house of God that didn't have a car and God was good. I've known some people that got fired and God was still good. I've known some people that contracted disease and God was still good. I've known some people that their companion walked out on them and God was still good. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want God to be your author of your present and your future, if you want all things to work together for your good, you cannot be affected by what's happening. You've got to keep an attitude of thankfulness and praise and say, no matter what happens, I'm going to praise the Lord. I've still got my joy. I've still got my consolation. I've still got my confidence. I still believe God is on the throne. I still believe it's going to work out good. Mordecai had tough times, but he never lost his integrity with God. And so it was not him, it was Haman that ended up on the gallows. Ladies and gentlemen, don't worry about the gallows. Praise the God that is able. Praise the God that is your God. Praise the God that has promised. If you will qualify yourself, I will cause all things to work together. Some of the greatest miracles I've ever experienced come on the heels of the worst news I've ever got. It takes real strength and faith to get bad news. Instead of succumbing and collapsing, you say, I believe I'll use this as an opportunity to praise God. I think I'll use this as an opportunity to maintain my faith and to let the devil know that I trust in God, because we have a relationship and that God is a good God all the time. It's not decided by the pay scale or the economy. It's not decided by the whim of people's personality. My God is my consolation all the time. And so I'm going to praise him like David 7 times a day. That means when Saul is trying to kill me, I'm still going to praise the Lord 7 times a day. No matter what's going on in your life, you need to become a praiser, not just on Wednesday and Sunday, but 7 times a day in your life. You need to say, so I just don't have that kind of time. Sure you do. Your automobile is tailor-made to be a praise chamber. You're in there so many hours. Just give God some praise in your house. Give God some praise in your car. Give God some praise in the restroom. Give God some praise when you're walking from your work to the car. There are so many opportunities to praise God 7 times a day. You say, but it's not always good. Oh, you don't praise God when it's good. You praise God in all things. Good or bad, you praise God. Number three is rejoice always. If you want to claim this verse and make it your own, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Well, you might say this is not normal. Well, certainly it's not normal. It's not even natural. You are correct in that assumption. But you're not asking God for a natural response. You're asking God for a supernatural response. You're asking God to do something that the world can't do, that the doctor couldn't do, that the lawyer couldn't do, that your spouse couldn't do, that your employer couldn't do. You're asking God to intervene. And God gave the promise, I will intervene in everything that happens in your life, and I will make sure that all things, no matter whether they're good or they're bad, all things will work together to where the end will be better than the beginning. The glory of the latter will be greater than the former. God said, I will do that. But we have to qualify ourselves. And one of the things is we have to rejoice always. There are some people that are so up and down. It's just amazing. I pity people, and maybe I pity my wife, but I pity people that are married to people that are so up and down. Becky Fender is the most constant person I've ever met, and that it makes my life so much easier. In fact, it makes it probably too easy. I lean on that she's going to be just the same. Sometimes I just like to test her a little bit and give her bad news just to see if she can flinch. That's ugly for me to do, but I just like to test her. Can't believe how she's going to react to this. Just give her some bad news, and she doesn't falter at all. She's still got the same attitude. Friend, that is the key to causing all things to work together for your love. That is that you will rejoice in the Lord always, no matter what happens, the same smile. To rejoice in the Lord always means your attitude won't change, and it means your actions won't change. I pastor a lot of people, Pastor Brandon and I, and we've pastored them for a long time. And some of those people, we just don't see them real often because when things are negative, they just don't appear. They just stay home and pout. Friend, it don't do any good to pout with God, I can tell you that. It don't do any good to sulk. The only time they're going to come is when they're being blessed. Then there's the other group that the only time they're going to come is when things are going wrong and they need something. If things are going good, they forget God. I told you about my friend. He didn't ever come to this church very often, but he had a business. And he said, every time I come to Living Way, he said, my business gets better for several months. My question was, why don't you come every Wednesday and every Sunday and just have a Fortune 500 company out of this thing? But he didn't see it that way. He only came when his business got bad. Ladies and gentlemen, I want everything that happens to me, no matter who does it, no matter who the author is, no matter what they're trying to do, there are going to be people that try to hurt you. But the Bible said that it won't hurt you. There are going to be people that try to destroy you. There are going to be people that shove you down and try to get ahead of you. And if you respond and react to that, there's a work stoppage in heaven. But if you'll say, I believe the Lord can take care of this situation. It's not my situation. It's not my purpose to rearrange every situation. It's my purpose to identify that I am a God lover, that I'm called of God and His purpose, and praise God, I will have the right attitude, and I will rejoice no matter what the situation is. This church would have closed down if it were not for a small minority of people in this building that make this their church home that have owned this particular verse. I've got to close, but I want to tell you, I want to thank God for the minority of people that come to this church that simply say, it's going to be all right. God is going to work it all out. No matter what's going on, pandemic or no, economy good or bad, president, Republican or Democrat, liberal or conservative, none of that's going to affect me because I've got this mindset, and that is that all things are going to work together for my good because I love God, and the question that goes without asking, God loves me. You know, Abraham Lincoln said, it's not whether God's on my side, it's whether I'm on His side or not. Friend, when you love God, you're on His side. And so when you begin to understand that, you'll say, it looks terrible, but things are not as they appear. God is in charge. I look through a glass darkly. My vision is limited. I can't see very far. But God knows the end from the beginning. He holds me in the hollow of His hand. And so my job is not to sort out every situation and to right every wrong. I don't have that ability or that power. And the more I fool with it, the worse it becomes. When I was a young boy and I have a little blitz on my skin, and when you're a teenager, that just drives you nuts. You know, you got to see your girlfriend and you got this little zit right here. And mama would say, don't pick at it. Don't pick at it. There's some people that everything that comes up in their life, they pick at it. Because she said, if you pick at it, it makes it worse. I don't know about zits, but I can tell you that's the way it is about life. Don't pick at it. I know preachers that pastor that way. They can have a house full of people, but if there's one person that's ugly or don't have a right, they're going to preach to that one person. I choose to ignore that and to preach to the people that are ready to receive something good from the Lord. I'm telling you that God is on your side. I'm telling you that what the doctor said can be reversed in a second. I'm telling you what the lawyer did can come to naught. I'm telling you that your boss can change his mind. I can tell you that your family can have a change of heart because God is in charge. So your job is not to work on things. Your job is to praise Him, to rejoice in Him, to put your confidence in Him. You say it's just foolish. This whole thing is supernatural. It does not make sense to the common mind. But we don't walk according to the flesh. We don't walk according to intellect. We don't walk according to logic. We're walking in the Spirit and we're operating in faith, and we believe that God was, is, and will be. We believe that His power is omnipotent, omniscient, that nothing can stop God. And praise God, it's a wonderful thing when you realize I'm on the winning team, that God's on my side and I'm on God's team, and no matter what happens, praise God, God's going to do something about it. He has a way of every day of readjusting everything. No wonder He said daily bread. No wonder He said His mercy is fresh every morning. God has a way of readjusting things, and I've learned if I do not react, you see, my tendency is to react. But I've done my very best to quit reacting to things that are negative. Get calls. I had a call this year, and it was just such a great deal. And the lawyer called me and said the deal fell through. It just crushed me. But I made up my mind that I was not going to react. I was sitting at my desk. I got up and said, praise God. Just walked around there and praised God. It wasn't 15 minutes until the same lawyer said they called back and the deal is back on. It was $500,000. Why was that? Because the Lord was working in my behalf. The Lord said, all things are going to work together for your good. And ladies and gentlemen, if you'll be faithful to God, if you'll keep the right attitude, if you'll be a rejoicer in terrible times, I promise you, God will move it around. And you'll say, I can't believe that I was concerned about that. Look what the Lord has done. Stand on your feet right now and give God some praise, would you please? Hallelujah, hallelujah. My God is in charge. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Pastor Brandon was telling me about one of his friends that pastors two of the greatest church, two churches in America. And they run thousands, probably, I don't know, 8,000 or 10,000 every Sunday. And they're down just to maybe a few hundred people. But he said, when I talked to them, he said, their attitude is exactly what you said, Dad. We're going to have to build back. But we're not going to have to build back from where we started. Look what we've got. We've got all these buildings. We've got all this revenue. We've got a core group of people. And praise God, to build back is going to be so much quicker, so much easier, and so much bigger than what it was in the beginning. That's the attitude you've got to have in life. You say, I lost my job. But look where you are. You're not like you were when you first started out. God's got you in a place. And if you would just get your attitude and your spirit right, God's got a new job for you in 2021 that's going to be shocking to you. God's got some big plans for you. His plans is that you would succeed and not fail. His plans that you would be overcomer and not be overcome. Just give God the praise. You don't have to work. You see, the wonderful thing about all of the promises of God, you don't have to work on things out of your control. you work on the things that are in your control. Your spirit, your attitude, your praise, your faithfulness, they're all in your control. I told the boys were talking about, and Tyler were talking about maybe playing more golf. They haven't played much golf. I've played tons of golf in my life. And I said, the greatest thing about golf is there's nobody to blame. You can't say, well, that guy didn't throw me the pass. That guy didn't hit the... It's you. When you get down to the end of that golf game, you're the guy. And that is exactly the reason why I gave up golf. There was nobody to blame except me. And I got tired of blaming myself, saying, you suck at golf, buddy. You're pitiful. There was nobody to blame, so I gave it up. I like team sports where I can blame other people. We all like that. But that's not the way it is with serving God. Everything you need to succeed is in your control. It's in your control. And when you get confidence that God's on your side, you are unstoppable. 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 I believed for a long time that God was on my side, that He was always going to make it turn out good. And I've had people observe that. No matter what you do, it turns out good. That's because God's on my side, because I love God. I love God. Can you throw your hands up and tell God how much you love Him? If you're in this room right now and 2020 has beat you up and things have been tough in your life and you've had relationships that are broken and your economic revenue stream is less and deceased, I want you just to say, in the name of Jesus, God's going to make all this turn around. It's all going to work for my good. If you're in this room right now and you need some help, if you walk down to this altar, I will join my faith with you and say, what God has done for me, He will do for you. Faith is a contagious thing. Doubt is contagious. That's the reason why you need to remove yourself from people of doubt and adhere to those people that have faith. It is a contagious, contagious thing. I was raised in churches that were filled with doubt, and God did not bless me to the way He wanted to bless me until I was able to remove myself from that group and find people that thought big, that thought big. Walter Hallam came to, and I was teetering on whether to build this church or not. It's a big undertaking, millions and millions of dollars, and we didn't have it. But Walter Hallam, a great man of faith, came to my church. Came to our church next door, and this has been 20 years ago now. And he looked at me and said, Steve, your ministry is bigger than this building. That's all I needed. I had a man of faith speak to me. Somebody needs to speak into your life and say, your faith is bigger than your income. Your faith is bigger than your health. Your life is bigger than what you're experiencing. God's got something powerful in your life. Beck is singing. I'm going to pray with my one brother. He's got his phone up. You say, what is that phone deal? Oh, he's not only asking for himself. He's asking for everybody that looks at that phone. Praise God. He believes he's not only going to be blessed, he's going to bless his family and his friends just by being here. He believes that. I believe that with him. Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus right now, God, let him break through every barrier. Let him go to a place where he's never been. Let things begin to reshuffle, God, and begin to work for his good in the name of Jesus. You've gone through some terrible things. You can question your life, or you can say, God loves me and I love God, and all of this is going to turn out for a great finale in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.